Praise the Lord. Coming from Africa. Praise the Lord. Because you are good in shouting, praise the Lord. I'm going to teach two words in Swahili. That's one of the main East African language. Habari yako? Can you tell along with me? Habari yako? Ah, you're doing good. Shall we try once again? Habari yako? That means, how are you doing? The answer is Masuri sana. Can we say along with Masuri sana? Habari yako? Habari yako, brother? Masuri sana. Have you heard about Hakuna Matata? And everybody, you know, heard about Hakuna Matata means no problem. But as soon as you land in Africa, it's all problem. This morning, I'm excited because of two reasons. Because I'm standing in front of you in a missionary church. And I have heard that Makali, one of the five, who went to Ecuador, it's from this place. Thank God for that. Even I have heard about Johnsons, who is working neighbor to us, but I haven't had a chance to meet them. Wonderful works. They passed through Nairobi, I think, many times. So that's one of the reasons. The second reason I'm so excited, I'll be in Africa within 2 weeks. The place that God has called us to serve Him. So for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to divide into two sessions. So about 20 minutes, I'm going to share about what God has done through us about 9.5 years, almost 10 years down the line. And about 25, 30 minutes, elders have allowed me, if you want to take 5 minutes extra, or, you know, don't be pressed. I will try to stop on time, 11:30. But if I go 5 more minutes, you yeah. See what happened, and you have seen so many missionaries, isn't it? But have you seen a missionary from India going to Africa? No. That's why I want to go to different churches and share about the wonderful love of God. God can work through anybody. In India, we have 2,000 assemblies. Some of you have visited India, no? You have pretty good knowledge about India. We come from Kerala. It's a small state. A lot of Christians from first century onwards. So our state is so different from any other state in India. And we are sending missionaries to other states of India. But over 100 years, nobody has gone to Africa from India. But last 60 years, people have gone for business, as engineers, as teachers, not as IT. Recently, they started going, you know, they're coming to America, most of them. But Lord was pleased to send us about 9.5 years. So what happened during those years? It's really amazing. I can just quote one verse to summarize what God was doing through us. It's impossible to man, but it's possible with God. 4 countries, 9.5 years, 100,000s of kilometers, basing in Nairobi, traveling to various places, about 9 churches, assemblies we call, and 8 full-time workers. All of them are going well. We thank God for that. So we have learned one thing out of that. Lord is not looking into your color or, you know, caste or resources, your smartness, your potentiality. No. God is just looking into just one thing. That we all know that. What's that one word? Our availability. That's why though we are on an immigration visa here, we don't want to make a livelihood here. We just want to go back because of children's education, because my son is going to college next year. In Africa, they don't have much privileges to study. That's why we temporarily moved into here, but we keep on going to take care of the churches. Why I told this? We need your prayers more than before. We are going for 2 months with my wife. My wife, Joy, I could see some joys here. Wherever she goes, she is so popular with her name. Even Malawi is present, our Davis knows, you know, Joyce Banda. And she is the second woman present in Africa. The first one is Liberia, Johnson Sirleaf. And she is doing a good job, you know. So she is also coming with me this time. So please do pray for us. So these four countries that we are, God has taken us in 2004 to Kenya. So many people ask the question, Vinoji, how did you end up in Africa? Because as I told you, nobody has gone before me. But God has guided us. It's a long story. I don't have time. There's a brother from India, from our assembly in Kerala. He went to visit the place. When he came back, he was so excited. He shared about all the wonderful opportunities to share the gospel and to teach. I've been in full-time ministry, teaching in Bible schools, children's ministry, youth ministry, and fully involved. So busy. Not to think about another country. But deep in our heart, we were feeling a vacuum. We were thinking to go to North India, where Christians are very minimum 1% from Kerala. And we never thought that God would take us to Africa. I used to read so many missionary stories. But in His will, He has taken us to Africa in 2004. And we just went by faith, just like any other brethren missionary. And still now, we don't have a salary or any specific support. But God is a wonderful God. You can imagine, 9 churches, 7 places we could buy the plot and build the churches. Where we are now in Lilongwe, we have 2 acres of land just near to the capital city. We have church, we have so many things going on. I don't want to detail, but there's no time. So please pray for us. So this is a common picture. Bible has changed Africa. When you hear about Africa, my brother Davis is here. And it's all the negative news that's coming into our mind. Malaria, poverty, AIDS, you know, fightings, exploiting, isn't it? Africa is potentially the richest continent in the world. You know that? But practically the poorest. I'm not happy as a missionary with the exploitation that is going on around. Americans are trying to help, but that's not with other people. I don't want to do it. Even they consider Indians, you know, in a bad light because all Indians are business people. When I went there, I introduced myself in Kenya. 60% of the economy is controlled by the Indians, business people from Gujarat and Punjab. So it was a hard time. I introduced as a missionary. They asked me, which machinery you are working? They thought that I'm working on some factory. And another time, I'm a missionary. They asked me, oh, you are a mercenary? Because they can, you know that, those who know English. They can never relate with an Indian as a missionary. But, you know, we started loving them, caring them, giving them, teaching them through that they were able to know the love of God. Now they will say that. Especially people from Kerala, wonderful teachers, good family men, take care of the kids and families. And that's a testimony we left. Anyway, because of time. There are 30,000, so all the bad things you hear about. One good thing I just want to say that Christianity is growing in Africa, in Nigeria, in Ethiopia, in Western Africa, in many parts of Africa. That's not happening here. It's only some churches are closing down here and some churches are becoming big. You know that. It's not growing in Europe. It's not much growing in India, in China, or in Latin America and in Africa. These are the only places Christianity is growing. That's because of the missionaries. So God has changed Africa. If missionaries had not been there, you know what would have happened, isn't it? So many people ask the question, what do you eat there? We cannot live without eating Indian spice, you know. That smell, you know. At home, we eat the Indian stuff. But whenever we are on road, in mission house, and remote villages, we eat whatever they give. This is one of the staple food. Can you say, Davis, what is this? Sima, you. So this is known as ugali. That's Sima, the same thing. If Kenyans don't eat this one, they can't win the Boston Marathon or even New York Marathon. Kenyans and Ethiopians are fighting. This year, before the bomb blast in Boston, Kenyans have pocketed their 1 million and went home. They eat this without, they carry some of them because they say that without ugali, we cannot live. And this is one of the staple food. This is another good thing to praise God. You can see wonderful creation of God in their original habitat. If visitors come to Africa, it's because of that. God has preserved them in millions. And if there was no wildlife, nobody would visit Africa, I believe. And you can see God's creation in their original habitat. And I didn't even, you know, other than seeing in TV, I didn't know even much about the wildlife until I went to Kenya. Masai Mara, have you heard about Masai Mara, that great migration and all? I've been there 11 times. Because when visitors come from America and all, spending a lot of money, it is my duty to take them and have a, you know, it's wonderful. It's God's creation. Whenever we see them, we praise God for them, how God take care of them, how they are survived in this. Masai people, they are another class. Hundreds of books have been written about them. They kill lion and any animal. They stay inside the wildlife park. Government have requested them, please don't kill lions because they are our heritage, they are our asset. And what I want to say that in western part of Kenya, so many Maasai churches, God is working among them. For 500 years, there's no change. You go to Nairobi, you go to Tanzania, drive through, you can see them in this fashion. World has changed, but not these people. Maasais, they are known as warriors. They kill lions. Even malaria is not, it cannot even affect them. They stay in the jungles. But God is working among them. And many churches in the western part of Kenya, so because of time. This is our beautiful picture. We always look beautiful in the picture. Yeah. It's our son Joel, you know, he's absent. Maybe one day you will meet them. Even otherwise, no. Anyway, please pray for us. This is how we started the work in 2005. And when we went there, it was so difficult for Kenyans, Africans to accept them. And it was even difficult for us. We started staying in the MS building for 3 years in the African neighborhood. When people look at us, one day somebody asked that, are you lost the way? Because no Indian is going to stay in there. And we stayed there, we started working among them, and they started doubting, but slowly we built a relationship. This is how we started the first worship in a house. Do you know that house gatherings are taboo in Africa? If you gather in a house, you'll be the same number, you'll be the same people even for 50 years. Because if you gather in a house as a church, they think that something else, it's a cult or something, because they are so much used to that. And especially us, we observe a Lord's table in the middle. For Africans, you know, to say that a church, there should be commotion, there should be a lot of dancing, but we observe Lord's table in the middle. We take something and eat, and after that we drink something. They say that we are devil worshippers. We heard that in Kenya, we heard that in Tanzania, we heard that in even in Malawi villages, because they are so much used to that. So for a few weeks, few months, we gathered here because it's a taboo. Nobody is going to come to the church. Only one family, Samuel. This is the brother whom God has given me. He is the one who is taking care. He is the one who is baptizing the first convert. He is Brother Henry. He is working as a secretary to MAS Bible College in Nairobi. He's a wonderful brother. And, you know, because of time. So this is how we started the work. Because we don't want to continue in the house because nobody is going to come. We can gather in a park, we can gather under a tree, and we can gather in a common place, doesn't matter. Still, it is a church. So we put a tent, and brother gave the plot. I put some money because I had some money coming from India. And we put this tent. 2 years we gathered in this tent because we didn't have the resources to put a church. And then God has given the next plot, and we put a beautiful chapel in the African background, in the setup. So this is the first church, 25 km or 15 miles away from Nairobi, still there. And we have a training center. We have 8 churches within Nairobi. Because other churches don't have the facilities, they still use it for training and other conferences and things like that. Under the leadership of Samuel, this is going wonderfully. I'm going to visit them in my December trip. So this is the first evangelist, Hilary and Mary. He was with us 4 years in Githurai, that first place. Then we have sent him to the border of Uganda and Kenya, and he has established 3 churches. I'm going to visit him too. He's a wonderful evangelist. It's a church in Busia, bordering Uganda and Kenya. This is another church in Mombasa. Have you heard about Mombasa? That's the second city in Kenya, beautiful Indian Ocean beaches. And we have a church there. We went there and bought a place and started a church. And still there is a fellowship going on. You can see it. And also we have an Asian gathering. You know, Africans call Indian associations. They don't call Chinese associations because Chinese are more prone to be Asians, isn't it? Because for a long time, 100 years, Indians are there. They call. So we have an Asian church in Nairobi on Sunday evenings. So please pray for that. Well, that's all about Kenya. I have so many pictures because of time. I just want to go on. And after 4 years, 2 years loneliness, it was so difficult to adjust. And people are not receiving us. And we are in a new land. And we don't have anybody to, you know, because we went as a pioneer missionaries from India. And after that, God has multiplied the work. Visitors started coming. And God has sent his blessings. Everything looked nice and rosy. Then after 4 years, God has told me, you go to the neighboring country. Because when as soon as I stepped in Africa, Lord has given me a vision that there are 54 countries in Africa. And once you establish a church, elders are in place, teachings are given, you should move on into another place. Paul is my hero for that. I did not just stick to one place. So after 4 years, we went to Tanzania. We did not know where to stay. We did not know where to send our kids. We did not know where, you know, we did not have the missionary permit even. You need to have a missionary permit. We went by faith. There's a small gathering. And it is from there we went to Malawi to start the work. And so Kilimanjaro, 20,000 feet, top of Africa. So many celebrities from here and England and all come and climb the street. I am in mountain. And they make money and give to charities. If you want to do that, and you are welcome. So this is Mount Kilimanjaro. This is brother of Henry, older brother. He is also another convert, the first one. He's a wonderful brother. When I went to Tanzania, I took him because I did not have any translator or I did not have any local brother. And he found a Tanzanian girl after some years. We have given them in marriage because in Africa we have to give dowry for girls. So otherwise youngsters remain unmarried. So we have given seven marriages so far we have conducted. And we have to give the dowry in the form of cattle or some, you know, ox or something like that. If you have money, you can give in the form of money too. So he is Brother Lawrence. This is another Indian brother. He is one of the elders. And still the church in Dar es Salaam is going on well. This is Dr. David Livingston's house in Zanzibar. It's a beautiful Indian Ocean, what we call archipelago. It's an island. And still you can see this house. 160 years old, I believe. And this is being used as a museum today by Tanzanian government. And just when I went there, I just took a picture. And he went into all the African countries to spread the gospel. So now let me come to Malawi. Malawi is known as the warm heart of Africa, very close to Zambia. I haven't been to Zambia. One day I'll go there. And we are neighbors. And Malawi is known for that beautiful lake, Lake Malawi. That's one of the most beautiful lakes in the world. And this is how we started the worship in Malawi, under a cashew tree, observing the Lord's table. And God has blessed the work. And we used to show even the Jesus film. And with 1 hour notice, you can get around 500 to 1,000 people. Isn't that beautiful? And somebody said, you know, a missionary in Minneapolis, and he was working in Philippines. And the same situation in Africa, if you give a tract within minutes you can expect 20 people around or a big crowd around. They will come by interest, anxiety to hear. Then we start sharing the gospel. You go to any market with this much tract, you will come back empty-handed. And people will ask for Bible, any material, because they don't have any written material. It's expensive. Bible costs, you know how much, $10. So expensive. That is why they start stealing the Bible. So we start giving. This time we want to buy 100 Bibles. Anyway, there's great opportunity wherever you go. You know how much effort you have to take here in America to get 500 people to share the gospel? That's why we want to go back to Africa. Even in India, there are persecutions in certain pockets. But, you know, in Africa, that's one of the good things. Especially in southern, but sub-Saharan Africa, there isn't much persecution. Maybe in North Africa. And, you know, so in all these places, we have started the church through children's ministry. Especially my wife is very interested in that. And it was our desire to have an Avana training. I went after coming here during the last July for a month. And we had the Avana training. So around 50 kids are coming to our mission compound in Lilongwe. That's the capital of Malawi. So you need to pray for. So children are a great asset. And if you want to work among the older people, so difficult. Because sometimes they expect money and other things, you know. You can't really penetrate through them. Because we are living witness to that. 9 years before, the children, small kids, we started in Nairobi. And they were not clean. And my wife started teaching them hygiene and how to be clean and those kinds of stuff. And after many years, 9 years, they are the youths in our church. Even I got a letter from Samuel last week. Our youths are going wonderful. That's the thing. We are not expecting a result very soon. That's the same thing we want to apply in Lilongwe. There are three villages. Most of them are devilish villages. We can see the rituals and ceremonies. And there are 200 kids at least. We want to reach, bring at least 100 kids to our compound. And that will happen. There's great need for borewell. In our mission compound, there's no water. Our sisters go 2 miles and carry water like this. So we try to minimize, you know that how you use water, you know. You just open the tap and brush your teeth until you are finished, the water is still flowing. That's how our youngsters are learning, kids are learning here in America. So I tell people, you should go out of this comfort zone to know the realities of this world. And we know that, you know, from American churches, there are so many borewells are being, dug in many places. So we want to, dig a borewell in our compound and give water to these three villages. So please pray for that. It's a great need, and I'm going to do it this time. Please pray so that God will give the water, because He is a source of water. And when we have water, there are a lot of things we can do. We can reach the community, and also it will be a great help for the sisters. And, we are giving a Bible to a police woman. Wherever we go, they ask for the Bibles. And this is our mission compound, Havana training and kids playing. Excuse me. So this is our mission house. So we are going to stay 2 months in this house. I have a small car there. And we have workers' houses and church and about 2 acres of land. It's just 10 miles away from the city center. But there's no electricity. We use solar lights for electricity, and we don't have running water. But we are so happy staying there. This time, including my wife, 5 visitors are coming. Two people are coming from Dallas. They are Indian origin brothers, and one family is coming from Atlanta, Brother Rogers. He's one of our faithful partners in the ministry. He's going to come 5th time, but 1st time with his wife, Gladys. So please pray for that. You will see him in the next picture, I think. So we have some community work as well. And sisters, we want to help them with the tailoring. Rather than going and gossiping around, it is good to teach them tailoring to make a small living, isn't it? And also carpentry. One of our brothers learning carpentry. So we want to set up some carpentry work so that youngsters can learn carpentry. That's very common in Africa. They can make some tables and, some drawers. And these are our workers, 4 workers and their families in Malawi. So this is Brother Alamson and family. He was trained in Zambia. We found him driving 1,500, maybe 1,000 miles from Dar es Salaam, the capital, to Malawi. You do not know, you know, anything about the place. I went by bus. When I came back, I got sick. And when I went to that village, God has kept this brother. I met him. He said that, I am also a brethren man. And how did you become a brethren? And I was in Zambia, because Zambia is a success story. There are 1,000 assemblies. So many missionaries are still working. And some places, Canada and all, when you talk about mission, they know only about Zambia, isn't it? Brother knows about that. So he was trained there. Imagine you are going to a new place, you do not know anything. When you are there, you are meeting a brethren person who is going to a Presbyterian church, because there's no brethren church. This happened 4 years before. Still, he's one of the trusted brothers in Malawi. Brother Alamson and his wife Maureen, wonderful brother. This is Kachingwe, his wife Wengi, learning tailoring. Marchar, wife Flora. This Daniel and Emily. This is Brother Rogers. Okay, because of time. So, God calls you. What's your response? And you can respond in various ways. You can pray for, and if God is leading, you can support the mission. And so many needs. My thing is what Hudson Taylor said. That is 101% true. What did he say? Where God guides, he provides. During the last 10 years, that's our experience. Now, most probably we'll be operating the mission from here because our children are here. We are on an immigration. Please do pray for us. We want to see so many churches coming up. These elders and leaders are being equipped. That's what we do. We train them, equip them, so that they will be able to take up the challenges. And you can leave the place one day. That's what happened in Kenya. Wonderfully going all the four churches. And even Tanzania. But Malawi faces still a lot of challenges because they are new. And a lot of challenges. So please pray for that. Let me just close my first part with two things. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is what challenged me, inspired me to go to Africa. This is still challenging many people. So many missionaries gone. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Before and after this, look at the difference, and look at the disciples. Until they received this command from the Lord, Commander-in-Chief, they were wavering, they were timid, they were intimidating. But when they received this command, they changed the world for a good reason. Everything is there. Go. It's not an option. It's a command. Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said, all authority is given to me. Who can say so? Is there any American president is the most powerful person in the world? But you know what is happening now, isn't it? He is saying so many stories. But the commander-in-chief of the heavenly armies is commanding us to go. Hundreds of people have gone for this. Maybe thousands have gone for this. Hundreds have died for this cause. Millions are still living for this cause. We ourselves have to live for this great commission. If we don't live for this words, we are nothing in God's presence. The time that God has given us. You may be working here, that's fine. You may not be in the full time, that's true. But go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. This is the greatest commandment God has given us. Are we doing something in relation to that? I'm happy this church is a missionary church. If a particular church is not doing anything with regard to the evangelism and mission work, probably it's a dead church. That is one of the cornerstones of the New Testament churches. I'm happy about you. This is what changed the whole world. And it says that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When you stand in the jungles, drive through the wildlife, so many dangers. 3 times I've been affected by dangerous malaria. 1 time it was very fatal. But as Paul says, I don't count my life precious. Doesn't mean that you will die in the process, but you should have that attitude to live for. So this promise, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Maybe two more sentences, statements. Another statement, I am always thinking about and challenged, still being challenged. There is only one life, which is soon be passed. Whatever we accomplish for the Lord, that alone will remain. A great celebrity and cricket player. In England and India, cricket is so popular like American football and baseball. You know that? He was a cricket player. Charles Sturt, City Sturt. At the age of 35, he made a lot of money. 35,000 pounds. That time it was few millions. He gave 90% to the mission. George Muller and Hudson Taylor, he came back home, 10% remaining. He told his wife, he thought that what my wife would think. And he said, honey, I just gave 90%, remain with 10%, that's enough for us, isn't it? And you know what she said? If you could trust God for that 90%, why can't you trust God for the rest of the 10% too? He gave that also to China as a missionary, worked there 16 years, came to South India, worked there 4 years, came back to England 55 years ago. He was clinically a dead person because of high asthma. Doctor said, you cannot go to Africa, you will not survive. He saw about cannibals, one missionaries. And he went to Congo, worked there 19 years. The person who was clinically dead, what's your health? If you take care of your health, that's not going to succeed. Just work for the Lord. That might be your health, isn't it? And he worked 19 years, died at the age of 74, established around 100 churches in Congo. You know, still, Congo is an underdeveloped place. Imagine 150 or 60 years before. It is he who said, think about our life. We are not here to fight. We are not here to hate. We are not here to put a stumbling block on others. But we are just here to love and do his mission, his work. And there is only one life. There is no two life to do something else. There is only one life. Most of our life is gone, isn't it? I'm very happy. 19 years of age, when I was in university, Lord has called me into full-time ministry. Next January, it is 25 years. There is nothing better than this. I'm so delighted. God has taken me to so many countries ever since I stepped into Kenya because of his glorious gospel. Thank God for that. There is only one life which is soon be passed. Whatever we accomplish for the Lord, that alone will remain. My last statement, the one who went with Macaulay. I read his biography 3 times. You can't read it without tears in your eyes. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. When he was 25 years old, at Wheaton College, where Billy Graham studied, he put down these words in his diary. And he wrote one more statement, popular statement. Lord, I am not desiring a long life, but I desire. Can somebody fill it up? A meaningful life. It's not that how long you live, how well you live. Are you challenged by that? Or are you gripped by something else? Jim Elliot said, God used him. 29 years of age, he was shot by the arrows of the Iroquois tribe, along, you know, Macaulay and five. He became more popular because his wife started working there. That person who shot arrow, he was saved by the work of Elizabeth Elliot, and she wrote a biography. Many biographies have come about him. So that's a story. Hundreds of missionaries have gone into the mission field by reading this. I heard that you are also going to make something about Macaulay, and you should, you know, do that. So that's all about. So I just want to. So now maybe another 10, 15 minutes I have. So I'm just going to talk something about Jacob. Genesis chapter 22 to 32. Because of time, I'm not going to read into it. Jacob. He's my favorite character in the Old Testament. Because God changes somebody, he'll be mightily used for him. There is no crediting saying that I'm same for the last 20 years. No, that means you are not changed. Negative or positive, isn't it? When God works in your heart, you must be changed. You must be changed positively. That's what happened with Jacob. That's one of the reasons God loved him. So he is known for zealousness of God. That's why he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Can you see that persistence in our life? And he fought with an angel. We are going to there very soon. And he said, it took some 6 hours. He said, I will not leave you. And are we persistent on God's blessings? And you need to focus on certain things. That's why I told you, God has brought us to America. And we don't have any other commitment here other than the spiritual commitment. In the last 3 months, we went to Austin, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Chicago. That's where we met Joe. And at last, I came here before going into Africa. And that's what we have decided. For a genuine cause, we came. And for a genuine cause, we are standing. And we want to go back to the mission field. God has honored that. God is still honoring that. And his zealousness, we need to stand for the truth and we need to be persistent to get the blessings from God. He is positively changed. You have heard about some people starting on good point. But what about their end? It's terrible, which is good. Starting on bad note, ending on good, which is good. You know that, isn't it? Jacob didn't start well. You know that. He was a cheater, supplanter, a deceiver. He did not start well at all. His life was not rosy for the first 20 years. But how he ended up? 46, the first verses. You yourself will close the eyes of. You know, Joseph will close your eyes. What a great promise. That's what he was desiring. That's what he wanted to do. You know, please take me back to my father's land. His graph was going up. He was positively changed. And he accepted his unworthiness for all his blessings when he was back from his uncle's place. Before crossing the river, coming to Peniel, he said, Genesis 32 verse 10, he said, I am not worthy to receive any of these blessings. I crossed this Jordan, how many years before? 20 years before, with a single staff. He didn't have anything. Down the line, 20 years, God has changed him. God has taught him lessons. Now he is totally a changed person. And he says, the Lord, I am not worthy. Can you say that? David said that way. Lord, my family is not worthy to receive any of the blessings. Have that attitude for any blessings we have received from the Lord. Lord, I am not worthy. And God loved him. You may ask the question, why he hated Esau? That's what God's sovereignty is. God says that we don't see many times that God hates divorce. You know, I hate Esau. Can we expect that from a loving God? You may ask questions, but that's what God says. I have hated Esau and loved Jacob. I love him because God loved him. That is wonderful. There are 4 encounters that has changed his life. And after cheating, his mother told him, just go to Laban. She forsook him. And after giving all the schemes and plans, she just forsook him. And he is going to his uncle's place. God caught him at Bethel. And he made a covenant with him. And you know that ladder. Angels are descending and going, ascending. And God told, I am the God of Abraham. He is all alone. He is guilty. And he is afraid whether Esau would come and kill him. And nobody is going there to stand with him. He is all alone in his life. He had that guilty conscience in his mind. He is running away for a bad reason. God appeared to him and told him, I am the God of Bethel. And God reconfirmed the promise given to his fathers. And he made a vow with God. This is how it is going to be. He just asked for the basic things. If you be my God and give my food and shelter, take me back to my father's house and you will be still my God. We just ask for the basic things. God will give everything. That's why I never asked for money. I don't know, 9 years, how much money I spent. Lot of money. We serve a great God who can provide everything that you want. I mean, that you need. And God has blessed him. Bethel. So he changed the name. It was Luz. And then after 20 years, he's coming back. God is again reminding his promise. God is a faithful God. He will never change his promise. There is no forgetfulness after 20 years. Still he is struggling whether Laban would come after he. Of course came, isn't it? God had to intervene with him. Don't mess up with my servant. Better go back and make a deal with him. He was terribly afraid. And he's still afraid of Esau even after 20 years. And all the mistakes he had committed. God again reminded him of his wonderful promise. What did he say? I'm again the God of Bethel. Isn't that beautiful? Is God, are you allowing God to work in your life? I can say so many testimonies from my own life, especially in the missions. And I'm God of Bethel. Then we are coming to Peniel. That's where he's changed completely. He's transformed. And 46:3-4, God is not yet done with him. Sometimes we think that God is finished with us. God is done with us. No. A brother from Australia came to Kenya when he was 64. He worked there every year 3 months, leaving his family, stayed in the caravan, in the jungle, taught them assembly principles. And I was also part of that. Many churches have been established, at least 100. You know, at least 50 or maybe above 50. When he was 60, now he's 77, I think, still he's healthy. That's why I told you, your health is remaining not just because you are taking care of your health, doing something what God is commanding you to do. Imagine an Australian leaving his family and coming in, staying in the jungle of Kenya for 3 months, every year, same time. Now he's no more coming because others are coming. He could see the result. We need to step forward. And God is not yet done with us. Still he can use us. And let me just come to that passage. 32 verses, you know, we don't have time to read because I just have only a few more minutes. So we read that passage. He was left alone, his Peniel experience. He was left alone. He is coming with a large flock. 2 wives, their servants, and millions of dollars worth livestock. He allowed them to pass that river Jabbok. That's a tributary of River Jordan. And they are on the other side. He was left on this side. What is the time? It's midnight. It's not a good time. We all are afraid of the night, terror of the night, isn't it? About 12 o'clock in the midnight, God is again going to deal with him. An angel of God, that is the pre-incarnate appearance of Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to come and wrestle with him. And we read that he was left alone. In certain times when we are left alone, that's the best time for us to, for God to speak to us. Do you believe that? He spoke to him before in Bethel. He was left alone. He was afraid. And in this time also, he was all alone. There's no help. He can't expect any help. Maybe on the other side, his wife and children and the livestock, you know, maybe they are wondering what happened to this guy, nighttime. And he just left us here. But there was an encounter happening, isn't it? That went on for how many hours? How many hours? At least 5-6 hours, isn't it? You know that you watch Olympics and all, how many hours the wrestling last? Maybe a few minutes, isn't it? How many hours a boxing last? Maybe a few minutes, few seconds when one is down. But here is a wrestling that lasted for 6 hours. If Guinness Book of World Record was there then, it would have been definitely in the Guinness Book of World Record, isn't it? A wrestling that lasted for 6 hours. But what do we read? When the morning came, the angel wanted to leave. But what he said? No, you cannot leave. We won't allow you to leave unless you bless me. He was 97 years old. It's not a good time to fight, isn't it? Probably, in according to today's age, he lived 147. So in today's age, we can at least say that 60 years old. And those who are 60 years, you can still feel that in your body, isn't it? Not able to do things like what you used to do when you were a youngster. But still he is fighting. That is his persistence. God has taken 2 times to Israel. It's a wonderful experience. And you can see that zealousness, that vigor, that enthusiasm, that boldness in the life of any Jew. You wouldn't like them for certain reasons, but that is how they survive, surrounded by all the Arab countries. Few weeks before, Benjamin Netanyahu came here in America and told boldly, American President Obama, I don't think anybody would say, you know, that straight to President, if you don't do it, we will do it by ourselves. They are waiting because Iran is making, you know, bomb. That's what he said. Look at the boldness. Where did they get? From this man. That is why he is named what? Israel. You are no more known Jacob. You are going to be known as Israel. Still God is with them. God hasn't completely forgotten them. And still God has some plans about them. All the Israel came through him. And you know, he was greatly afraid. Because, you know, everything that he worked for last 20 years, it's on the other side. Will you feel the same thing? You would feel. Because all you accomplished and achieved by hard labor for the last 20 years, he had to literally fight with Laban for that. Now he is feeling that everything that I have earned during the last 20 years, I'm going to lose it. He is terribly afraid about Laban, about Esau, and about various things. But God is with him. And we read that he was wrestling with God. In Hosea chapter 12 verse 4, we read that Jacob fought with the angel of the Lord and he has won over. He was one to, you know, to understand his nothingness. He was defeated but not humiliated. And what a wonderful thing. He wrestled with God. We can see his persistence. And we can see his enthusiasm for God. And we can see his vigor to stand for the Lord. Do we have that zealousness, vigor, enthusiasm, boldness for God? Then God is asking in that passage, because of time, let me just rush. What's your name? He said 4 lies in regard to that, birthright. And, you know, his father Isaac asked him, are you my son Esau? What did he say? Yes, I am your firstborn Esau. Then he said, how did you get it so quickly? He said, Lord your God brought it to me so quickly. And one more thing he said, again he asked, he had a doubt. He asked, are you really my son Esau? Yes, I am Esau. And after 20 years, for those 4 lies, costed 5 years each, 20 years. Then again, after 20 years, God is asking the question back at him to remind him his past. What's your name? This time he did not say Esau. I am Esau. Did he say? No. And he doesn't want to share his name. He is so vigorful, you know. Some people, what's your name? They will not say their name. They will ask a counter question. What is your name? Isn't it? Have you seen some, especially kids and all? He's that type of character. Isn't it? A real character. God asked his name, what's your name? Then he didn't want to share his name. He was asking, what's your name? He is nameless, isn't it? Angel, only 2 people have got name. 3. Michael, Gabriel, and one who was, you know, 4 down. Lucifer. In Kenya, there's a rap singer. No, his name is nameless. Nameless. So he doesn't have any name. There's no meaning in asking the name with God. Angel of the Lord. What do you, it's nonsense. It's meaningless to ask my name. I don't have any name. Only 2 people who have got name, Gabriel. He didn't say anything of that. What do you ask my name? That's not relevant here. That's not significant here. What is your name? God is taking him back to his 20 years before. All his life flashed through. His unworthiness has come into his mind. I'm a supplanter, I'm a cheater, I'm a deceiver, I'm not worthy. After giving him a flash of thoughts, God said, I'm going to change your name. You are no more Jacob and you are going to be known as Israel. Thank God for that. All the 12 children came through him and God has blessed him. And we see that when that encounter was over, what happened? Okay, there are a few more. Sorry. Yeah, that was the first and last time. When the encounter was lasted, we know that sun rose. It was a new beginning. And sun, you know, a sun is rose over his head. And he is totally a changed person. We can see that. And God is reminding him of his past. He is a changed man forever. He is humble, but not humiliated. And the very next chapter, you can see the change that happened to him. What is that? Esau is coming. He is going to him. How many times? I think 7 times. He's going down to him. He is a changed person. Totally changed. Peniel, I have seen God face to face. Peniel, pen means face. El means God. I have seen God face to face. That was beautiful, isn't it? Bethel, Peniel, Mahanaim. All these places are associated with Jacob's life. Isn't it wonderful? He's a wonderful character. So let me stop here. So God can use anybody. That is the lesson we get from Jacob's life. Whichever way we go, astray, doesn't matter. God can bring us back and use him for his glory. And he can make us very strong. And chapter 46, 3 and 4, he says that I'm not done with him. Joseph. That's a lovely verse. Joseph is going to close your eyes. What better thing he wants to hear from God? I'm not done with you, Jacob. Your favorite son. He once thought he's lost. And everything is gone from your hand. You thought that you would go down to the grave with lot of pain. But God did not allow that. When he is coming to the close, end of the chapter, end of his life, he's a blessed character. So many things to learn from him. Praise be to his name. Let us learn, take him as a positive character who learned much from God. We also have too many things to learn from God. Let's pray and close. God, our gracious Father, we thank you for this beautiful day of worship given to us, Lord. We could see your beauty and glory and worship you, Lord. And if it is this much happiness and rejoicing in your presence here on earth, Lord, we are anticipating what a day it will be in heaven. Millions of saints all around the world worshiping you, seeing your beauty and glory. Lord, we are hoping to see that very soon. Yet with our finite beings, Lord, we worship you. We gave you worship. Continue to help us, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us about the work in Africa. Continue to strengthen us, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. We are feeble creatures like Jacob, who is unworthy to receive any of the blessings, Lord. And help us so that we may be used more for your glory. Lord, it's not done with anybody. And continue to use us. Thank you for this Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, Lord. Thank you for the elders. Thank you for the deacons. Thank you for all the flock of God. Continue to bless them. Thank you for using them in the past so many years for your glory, for the spreading of the gospel, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful privilege. We are born in different countries and continents, but yet we are one in Jesus Christ. Thank you, and we bless your name. Send us with your blessings. In Jesus, our Lord's precious name, we pray. Amen.